Once again, we have another Reclaiming History segment on WOOC 105.3 FM in Troy. I have a very special guest with me today. We're going to be talking about St. Augustine, a boy from the hood. My guest is Dr. Vincent Bantu. Dr. Bantu, thank you for joining us.
Hey, thank you so much, Livonia. It's a blessing to be here.
Listen, you're a returnee, man. This is the second time you've been on with us, and we are so glad you agreed to come on once again.
Oh man, it's a blessing and it's a privilege to be here. I love what you guys are doing, and yeah, it's an honor to be a part of it.
So, for my listeners, can you tell them a little bit about yourself?
Right now, my background is I'm a minister and also a professor of church history and theology. And so I do ministry in our church here in a urban multi-ethnic context. And also I teach in different seminary contexts and colleges, Christian colleges. My background is primarily focusing on the history of Christianity in Africa, as well as other parts of kind of like the early global church. And my degree was from the Catholic University of America in Washington, D.C., in Egyptian and Semitic languages and literature. And also I studied at Princeton Seminary in church history, as well as Gordon Conwell Seminary in Boston, Massachusetts, where I got my Master of Divinity. And right now I'm teaching and writing primarily in that subject matter of early Christianity in Africa, which is my primary interest, and working on a book with InterVarsity Press that is going to be exploring the early growth of Christianity in Africa as well as Asia. And also I teach in various seminaries, in Eden Theological Seminary, Western Theological Seminary, but also I direct and work with an African-American seminary program called the Meacham Memhara Hymenote, or the Meacham School of Theology Theological Institute, which is an African-American seminary program which is purposed to bring accredited theological education done by African-American Christian theologians and Bible scholars to the African-American community at an affordable and accessible rate. So you can learn more and check out more about that at www.meacham, that's MEACHUM.org.
All right. Well, listen, it sounds like you are a busy man.
Yeah, yeah. Lots of exciting things. Keep us all busy, ain't that right?
Good for you, and thank you so much for agreeing to be with us. Such an accomplished and distinguished professor, theologian, teacher, researcher. But we have a special person we want to talk about, and for a subject, I said he's a boy from the hood. His name is Saint Augustine. He is known as the father of the church. So listen, tell me a little bit about St. Augustine, and is he relevant today in an urban context?
That's a great question. Well, I'm so glad that you guys are talking about Augustine, and really, because obviously, you know, he's really one of the most, if not the most significant Christian writer in the history of Christianity, outside of a biblical writer like Paul or somebody like that. Really across the board, he's the most significant theologian in the history of the Christian tradition. And so then that goes without saying that he's the most significant Christian writer to ever come from the continent of Africa, and especially that he's from the early African period. And so I'm just so excited that you guys are talking about that, because we across the board need to really talk more about African history from that time period. We often, you know, really neglect that time period of kind of the late antique and the medieval time periods in African history. And that's when we really have so many great Christian theologians and figures. And of course, he's the most prominent one. And so yeah, I think that we know so much about his life, not only about his thought, but also we know details about his life because one of his most famous books was his Confessions, where he talks about his life growing up in the town of Tagast, which is now called Souk Ahras, eastern Algeria, modern day Algeria, but in his day it was called Numidia, and which is a Roman province of Africa, North Africa, of the Roman Empire. And he grew up in that city, and was born in the mid 300s. And we know so much about his life from that book of Confessions, where he talks about his life growing up in Tagast, all the way up into his conversion and his becoming a bishop. But just a brief, very brief kind of overview of some of the things that he lays out in that book is that he was born there, and he was born to a Christian mother named Monica, as well as to a wealthy local politician named Patricius. And he was born and raised, especially, we know from his book that he had a very close relationship with his mother, and that she was one of the primary influences on him. And she was a strong believer and prayed for him to know the Lord. And so I think that's, if I could kind of answer both questions at one time, that's, I think, an aspect of Augustine's life that very much connects with our community in the urban African-American community, is that so many of us, we grow up in contexts where we have very faithful and persevering mothers who pray for us and sow seeds into our lives that sometimes don't come to fruition until later in life. And even though Augustine's father, from what we can see, was around, he seems to have a pretty negative experience with his dad. But for Augustine's life growing up, his dad was prone to violence and also was not very present. But his mother was always there praying for him. And I think that's something many in our community can relate to. And Augustine has a very high estimation of his mother. The high regard we hold for mothers in our community is something that we can very much relate to, especially in a community where, sometimes because of the situation, it's hard for fathers to be around or be present. And then he later on went over into Rome, and with his education, he began to teach. He taught in Carthage, and he also taught up in Rome, taught in the Greek rhetorical tradition, which was, the basic system of education in the Roman Empire, was learning rhetoric and logic. And then he actually ended up getting involved in a branch of an offshoot of Christianity called Manichaeism, and Augustine was one of what they called the hearers.
So in a sense, it sounds like to me that, Augustine was wilding out.
Mm-hmm.
And then after he finished wilding out, he goes and gets religion, and he doesn't join the traditional church, he joins a cult. And because he's so gifted, like so many of our young people, he gets to be a leader in the cult.
Mm-hmm.
And after a while and now in the cult, how does he finally make it into the traditional church experience?
Well, I think that's a really great question. And it also connects again. I mean, I think even the point you just made is another great connection point, because, in our community, we have many cults today that also are very attractive to many of our young people, and they pull people into them away from kind of the traditional and the true teachings of Scripture and the church. We have many of them in our community, especially in a place like New York, many different very popular, cult groups like, the Manichaeans, who, come to young people who are wilding out and who are kind of drifting away, and they give them a sense of identity. And so Augustine was a part of it. But, Augustine, one thing about him is he always had a search for truth. And many of our young people are intelligent, deeply intelligent, and they search for truth. And if they continue to search for it, they will find it. The same thing happened for Augustine, because he became disenchanted with Manichaeism. He knew that it was not the truth. And then it wasn't until he went to the city of Milan and he was teaching rhetoric there as well that he met a person named Ambrose, who he had credited as his spiritual father, who was able to speak the truth of the gospel and the teachings of Scripture, that it just put Augustine in awe. But it was also the fact that Ambrose took Augustine under his wing and really discipled him. Because we have to remember, Augustine had a bad relationship with his father. His father was abusive. His father was not present in his life. And even though he had a loving mother, Augustine still needed that father figure. And the church provided that leadership role in Ambrose for Augustine, and he saw him as a father. And I think that we can also relate to that in our community, that many times, and I relate to this even in my own story, that many times our fathers, when they are not there for us, sometimes spiritual fathers in the church can be mentors and figures that come alongside our young men and women in very powerful ways. And it's the same thing that Jesus promised when he said that anyone who follows him will not fail to receive mothers and brothers and spiritual family members. And that's exactly what happened for Augustine.
So, Dr. Bantu, you know, you've given us so much information about St. Augustine. Here he is. He's in his home country. He's from Berber origin, so he's an African. But he's living almost like a double life, you know. He's got this Berber origin, but he's speaking the language of the day, the written language of the day. Now, correct me, is it Latin or Greek that he's speaking and writing in?
Yeah, so Augustine, he wrote and he spoke primarily in Latin. You know, the Western, where he lived in North Africa, it's just like the continent today, where you have people, Africans who speak French or speak English, but they also will usually speak their native, you know, or they might even speak two or three native, you know, indigenous African languages. And it was the same way in Augustine's time.
So Augustine had to be bicultural then. He had to be able to speak, you know, what we would call in our understanding Ebonics, but at the same time he had to speak what we would call the Queen's English, right? So he had to speak Berber and be within his own culture, but at the same time he had to be able to speak the language of the wider world, which would have been Latin. So he was really bicultural.
And again, you know, it's the same thing on the continent now. People have to know colonial languages and African languages. And then over here, even in the United States, many of us speak our own vernacular, African-American vernacular. But then, you know, in other spaces, you know, we have to code switch and speak into, well, you know, what's called standard American English. And he spoke the Coptic language. But then there were other people who, like Shenouda, who knew both. And Augustine was the same way. In fact, Augustine, you know, there's a really interesting book that talks about the like you said, the bicultural identity of Augustine, and it's written by one of the most famous church historians, Justo Gonzalez, and it's called The Mestizo Augustine. And actually, Justo Gonzalez, in a similar way that we can connect to that as African Americans, in a similar way, Gonzalez talks about Augustine and his bicultural identity from the perspective of a Hispanic context, where in the same way, many Hispanics have a mestizo identity, where there's a Spanish and African and indigenous roots that make up who they are. And sometimes they will have to be thinking and living in Spanglish. It was very interesting when I read that book, because Gonzalez pointed out that there's actually a point in Augustine's writing where he actually even displays a sense of insecurity with his ability to speak Punic, and that he feels that, you know, his isn't good enough because he was so educated, and he had to spend so much time, you know, learning the Greek Roman rhetoricians and like, you know, he read Cicero and learning from Ambrose and going up to Rome, that he almost felt that his Punic wasn't good enough. So and Gonzalez makes the point that, you know, sometimes Latino Americans can relate to that when they grow up in the States and their Spanish isn't as good, and they feel sometimes like, well, I'm not really Hispanic enough because I don't speak enough Spanish. And I think even us as African Americans can relate to that too, because sometimes when some of us grow up in maybe suburban areas and we don't speak as much Ebonics, and sometimes even our own people can treat us like, well, you're not Black enough because you don't talk a certain way. And so Augustine definitely felt some of that insecurity. But even despite that, there's also places in his writings where he actually still defends the Punic as well as the Tamazir. And just like, you know, the difference between African-American vernacular and, you know, standard English, you know, one usually gets prized over the other, and one is seen as educated and smart, the other is seen as uneducated. And it was the same thing in Augustine's time. There's another point in his writings where, as he had become the bishop of Hippo, which is one of the biggest cities, he realized that even though he had the ability to go to Rome and get educated, he also realized, as helpful as a lot of his education can be, and he wants to also make it relevant to his African people. He was able to walk those different worlds where he got that high education. I mean, he was at the Rhetorician School of Milan. He was at the Cambridge, Oxford, Harvard, whatever, of his day. And even to this day, he's still one of the most influential thinkers, not only in Christianity, but Western society, period. Western philosophers like Kant and Kierkegaard and Nietzsche and Thomas Aquinas, all of them get their stuff from Augustine. All of them are influenced by Augustine. And so Western society and politics and civilization is influenced by Augustine. And he got that education and mastered it, even though he was a boy from the hood from North Africa. But at the same time, when he came back home and he came back to the hood after he went to Milan and Rome and all that, when he came back, he said, I have to make sure that my African people can hear the gospel in their own language and can celebrate Jesus in their own language so that this is contextualized.
Well, Dr. Vincent Bantu, I couldn't end on a higher note than that. I'd like to thank you so much for joining us on WOOC 105.3 FM in Troy. Thank you, Dr. Vincent Bantu, for joining us.
Thank you so much.